Brooklyn's Radio believes your health matters.
So, in the studio with me this afternoon, I've got Daniel Wheeler. Now, Daniel runs a company called the 80-20 Lifestyle Plan, and he's just an amazing guy. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. It's great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Daniel, you run your company, the 80-20 Lifestyle Plan, but just 8 years ago, your life was quite different. Tell us what happened in April 2010 that was the catalyst to the changes you've made.
So, essentially, it was off the back of a long-term relationship. I was with my girlfriend since I was 18, and during that time, I had some family issues which were quite significant and caused a lot of trauma, and that led to me just eating and eating and eating, and I got to about 8-9 stone overweight, and I was just under 23 stone by the time I was 24. And I kind of hit a rock bottom moment. I was in the shower one day and having a clean, and I realized I couldn't see my feet, let alone anything else, you know. So that really was a... And I'd just broken up with my girlfriend at the time, and then I caught my reflection in the mirror, and I just thought, do you know what? This has to change, you know. I was in a very, very bad place.
I love Tony Robbins, and we talked a little bit about him before we went on air, but he has this big thing about pleasure and pain, and he always says that people won't make a change in their lives until the pain of whatever they're doing becomes worse mm-hmm. than the pleasure of doing whatever it is they're doing. And you can see that, can't you, that some people are just happy to sit on the sofa eating, watching TV, not moving enough. But until something drastic happens, like happened to you, mm-hmm. or Marnie, who was a guest on the show about a year ago, with her, she was told by her doctor that if she didn't do something drastic, she wouldn't see her youngest child's 21st birthday.
Wow.
So I think, you know, you need something that makes your pain reach a certain threshold, and clearly that had happened to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I as I'm sure we'll talk about, I now coach women to mainly women, but men as well, to become happier and healthier and completely change their lifestyles.
Yeah.
And there is a very, very common theme between people who see short-term results and tend to rebound to those that see long-term lifestyle changes, and that's those who reach rock bottom. And you have to. I think you have to reach rock bottom before you realise that this point in my life is the point I never, ever want to be back at.
Yeah.
I am so miserable. I am so unhappy. I am so distraught. I am so undeniably distraught is the word I would use, that you just think, oh, I've got to improve. Mm. And every step forward from that point, the only benefit of getting there is that every step forward from then is a benefit, is a positive, it's a change in the right direction. And you know, I meet a few people that think they've hit rock bottom, and then they make a great change, and then things start to unravel, but they don't truly hit rock bottom. So I think, you know, the first step to making a real change is, unfortunately, you've got to reach that place, and it's not pleasant.
Complete misery. Yeah. You had your own personal realization, and you set yourself a goal, and this was a big goal, wasn't it?
It was a very unrealistic goal. So, I'm a very stubborn man, and that can be a real positive for me, and it can be a real negative. And the positive is, if I set my mind to something, I will always achieve it. It's just a matter of time, you know. And I was in this rock bottom moment. I went to Sainsbury's, and I saw this photo on Men's Fitness at the time, Muscle and Fitness magazine. There was this guy who turned out to be this guy called Greg Plitt, and he was still is the most successful fitness model of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like this Greek god, this Adonis, this absolute machine of a man, good looking guy, these abs, these pecs, these bulging biceps. And I thought, do you know what? I want to be on the cover of that one day. I want people to look at me and have the same inspiration that I had when I saw Greg. And I bought the magazine. I took it home to my flatmate, Anthony, at the time, who's, you know, a very good friend of mine. And I showed him the magazine and I said, I'm going to get on that cover one day.
Hmm.
And he laughed so hard, he fell on the floor holding his stomach. He laughed so hard because there I was, 23 stone, you know, 30% body fat. I was incredibly obese. And there I was saying, I was in one extreme, telling him I'm going to get to the other extreme.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't see it. And I think, to be fair, if I'd have heard myself say it, I would have laughed as well, because it was just so unfathomably far away from where I was to where I wanted to get to. And but I did it. And two years later, I was on the front cover of Men's Fitness.
Which is incredible. And I think setting a target and making it public is very, very powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it can work for some people, yeah. It's not necessarily something which I'd advocate for a lot of people. I think you need to be the type of person that deals well with negative motivators. Mm. A lot of people don't. And to be honest, I used to, but now I don't. And I actually didn't make it public, my goal. I only told a few friends that I wanted to do it, and every single friend laughed.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the social media following back then that I have now. And it worked well for me to keep it close to my chest. But then when I reached it, I told the world, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. We that's important to do. And most people find that diets don't work for them. And I know you had many false starts yourself. But what was the key ingredient that really then made things start working for you?
Education, 100%. So I sat on a process, because I knew nothing, you know, 8-9 years ago. I literally hadn't got a clue. I had a career in marketing. I was the European marketing manager for online for Toshiba Europe. So I had a very good, well-paid job. You know, I was very successful at that, making websites and online marketing in general. And to some extent, I enjoyed it. I had no idea about nutrition or training or diets or anything. So I did what everyone did. I looked at the magazines, looked at celebrities, and I did the carrot diet, the Slimming World, Weight Watchers 5-2. I did Atkins, Juice Plus. What else did I do? I did the cabbage diet. And then the last one that was the real nail in the head was the celery diet.
Oh, my goodness.
I fainted 4 days after doing the celery diet in Sainsbury's.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Sainsbury's was the start of a lot of things, actually, thinking about it.
Yes.
But, at that point, the ambulance was called and took me home. And my flatmate obviously panicked. He saw an ambulance pull up and me get out of the ambulance. And he said at that point, after we sat down and binged on a pizza, he said, "Mate, you can't keep doing this. Yeah. You know, you're this is not how you lose weight." And he was a personal trainer, actually, ironically, and he was a swimmer. And he said, "Look, because I'm obsessed with science. I love science. I love physics. I love biology. I love chemistry. I love space and all that type of stuff." And he said, "Look, take that passion for science on space and physics, and direct it into the science of nutrition and how the body works, and I think you'll see some amazing results." And I did. Within a week of learning about the body and food, I was hooked.
Yeah.
You know, I was obsessed, and from that point on, I just became a huge advocate for nutritional science, and more importantly, how the body and the mind work together.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, that is such a big part of it. We talked off air again, but I think so many women who overeat, it's because of some emotional thing that's going on in their life.
The reason I got overweight was because I ate my emotions.
Yeah.
You know, it was a family trauma, and I turned to food to cope, you know. And as we mentioned off air, is we develop and we learn this behavior and this habit literally from day one. As soon as we're born, you know, through that traumatic birthing process, we're given milk,
yeah,
you know, to feed on, to try and calm us down, to try and make us go to sleep, stop us from crying. When we fall over as a child, we're given a lollipop. When we go to the dentist, we're given a lollipop. When we do well at school, we're given sweets. Or you go home and your mum and dad give you cake to celebrate your birthdays. You're celebrated with cake and Christmas and food. Everything is a celebration of food to make you feel better.
Yeah.
So when you're feeling unhappy, you know, and you've learned that food makes you feel better in the moment. And it certainly did for me. I used to eat Haribo and pizzas and burgers because in that moment, in the midst of all my pain, agony and distraught feelings, I knew that that pizza would make me feel human just for a moment, you know, when
moment,
I had tens and all my friends and all my family were judging me and being horrible to me, and all my negative relationships and being bullied. I knew that food was my comfort.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, although it is a fantastic coping strategy, there's a hormone called serotonin that is raised when we eat carbohydrates. So when we eat carbohydrates, serotonin is elevated, and serotonin directly reduces cortisol, which is our stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this hormonal seesaw balance, which works so beautifully. When we're stressed, cortisol is elevated, and when we to reduce that cortisol, we turn to carbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a beautiful relationship, but it comes with calories,
yeah,
and that's the problem.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're sort of running out of time.
No.
It's so fascinating. I know you appeared on the Channel 4 documentary Super Slimmers, so we're going to hold that thought and also hold a bit more thought about your 80-20 lifestyle plan, because, excitingly, Daniel's agreed to come in and talk to us again on the 27th on this show and stay with us for a couple of hours. So we'll be able to tell you lots and lots of great things that will help you emotionally, will help you think about the way you eat, the way that you exercise, the way that you move your body, and how it all works so beautifully together. And you've heard Daniel talking about the whole serotonin-cortisol connection, which is so, so key in lots of areas of our lives. So I want you to note your diaries for the 27th. If you're having some big family occasion, okay, we'll let you off, but there will be a podcast after that. But Daniel, in the meantime, if people want to contact you, how can they get hold of you?
So there's the website, which is the8020lifestyleplan.com, and then on Instagram is danwheeler8020, and then on Facebook it's the8020lifestyleplan, and I have a second Facebook account which is called The Big Friendly Nutrition Guy.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming in to talk
to us. Thank you for
having me. Today, that was Daniel Wheeler talking to us about the 80-20 lifestyle plan, who will be back with us on the 27th.
Brooklyn's Radio believes your health matters.